Had good devotions this morning. Very thankful for Brother Fred and putting these together for us. Studying about the Lord Jesus Christ and how everything he ever said was by commandment of his Father. Can you imagine that? And how all of our obedience is based upon him, faith in him. And if we trust in him, we can then follow him. We trust in him, we can have all of our sins forgiven. Thank the Lord for my wife who has labored to put all these things together in booklet form, and Miss Maydell and all the things she's done. All the brethren who have come and taken vacation to be with us, Brother Tom, to spend hours preparing messages for us. And I'm thankful for you all, that the Lord has put in your heart, your parents' heart, grandparents' heart, whatever it is to be here. I'm very thankful to have the privilege of being with you. We're going to read a passage of Scripture and study a passage of Scripture today that is very important, as all the Word of God is. Brother Tom taught us last night the first word of the last words of Christ on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And I hope you remember what he preached to us, what Jesus said, and how much we need him, who was bleeding all over the ground, and he thought of others and prayed for them, and his prayer was answered. We're going to look at words from hell today. If you'll turn to Luke 16. We'll read verses 19 through 31. Let's be mindful of the fact that this chapter is speaking much of riches. And there's a parable we will not teach about at the beginning of this chapter about a rich man and an unjust steward and all the things that went on between those two. But then if you notice in verse 13, it says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And another translation for mammon would be riches. Or as one young child said, man money. And then in verse 14, it says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard of all these things, and they derided him." They loved their money and they did not like Jesus pointing out the sad state of those who live for money and riches. And then we come to verse 19. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades," or hell, "he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rise from the dead. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. We thank you for your blessed Spirit who can open our eyes before it is everlastingly too late, that we might look upon you, that we would not go to this place of torment, but we would ever be in your presence and in your comfort by the death of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we believe in one who has risen from the dead, who is even interceding for us right now. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to speak your word in truth and in love. And we pray, Lord, that each of us would hear your word and we would obey it, believe it, and follow hard after you. Now, Lord, we ask you to guide us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's remember some things as we consider this passage. First of all, who it was who spoke these words. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who created the heavens and the earth. He's the Lord Jesus who created you personally. He conceived of exactly who you would be, whether you'd be male or female, how tall you would be, whether you would have red hair or not, blue eyes, brown eyes, tall, short, when you would be born, where you would be born, and the fact that you would be here on this day. He spoke these words. And greater than that, he is the one that we heard about last night, who died in the place of sinners, receiving everything he did not deserve, punishments beyond what we can understand, from men's a little bit, but from God, an infinite punishment on the cross. And so he is the one who spoke these words. This is not opinion. This is the one who actually saw Satan fall from heaven, because he cast him out. Amen. You see, this is the one who created hell for the devil and his angels because of such sin that was perpetrated. You know, it said he created it for the devil and his angels. It doesn't say he created hell for man. But man must go there, as this man did, who have denied God. If you act like a devil, there's no other place to go but where the devils were to be sent, the demons. So as we consider these words, we're going to see this man in hell basically asking three things. He's denied every time. Didn't get a single prayer answered in hell. Let's go back and read again. Verse 19 through 22. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This is a very wealthy man. I'd say he's like most common Americans, faring sumptuously every day. We set the thermostat at 72. It stays at 72. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have cars. We have microwaves. Solomon, in all of his glory, did not have a microwave oven. And we have a microwave oven. And we think, oh, I'm not rich. You understand they make about 11 cents an hour in Nepal, making rugs for Americans. They die on Mount Everest trying to take people up there. That's the biggest way to make money, it seems, in Nepal. And we have all these things. This man fared sumptuously every day, fine clothes. We get a little hole in a garment, we throw it away. So don't think that this is just any old man. It's like just most of us. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and you notice he has a name. That's important. We didn't even know who this other man's name is. Some have called him Dives. That's the Latin word for rich man. But this man had a name, Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. This was a beggar. He didn't have fine clothes, holy clothes, dirty clothes, soiled clothes, diseased clothes. And he's lying because he cannot stand. He's there every day, and yet he is a man of faith. You have the man inside with all the things that the world could ever want, no faith. A man lying down there, sick, desiring just to have some crumbs. And he may have gotten some crumbs. We don't know. Maybe the rich man said, send these crumbs to the beggar out there. Is he out there again? Send the crumbs. Maybe not. He was just desiring that he could have some crumbs and never got any from this rich man. But what he did have, the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs had more mercy upon this man than the rich man did. Coming and licking his sores. Reminds you of Job, doesn't it? Man full of sores, just lying there. Both of them with faith, though. Now, if this were all that was said of this man, we stop right there. You know what the world would say? Well, it's that rich man. How blessed was he of God. Health and wealth gospel, he fulfills it to the max. And look at this other guy. If he'd really been serving God, he wouldn't have all this. Look at that. God's just judging him. Isn't that what they said of Job? You know, if you were a sinner, all this wouldn't be falling upon you. Well, they look at this man, just a beggar. Surely it's because of your sin that you're here. If you were just trusting God, you would be like that rich man inside the gate. That's not the case. We go on. Verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. This is the lot of every person on the face of the earth. This is not just a story. Every one of us is going to die. If the Lord comes back today, that will be different. But for every other person on the face of the earth that comes to the end of their life, they will die. It doesn't even say that the poor man had a burial. Who knows what they did with his body? The rich man had a burial. The poor man went to be in Abraham's bosom. Now, this is a picture of going to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And he was with the Lord. In this particular story that Jesus tells, he's with Abraham. The world wants to think that we can choose anytime we want to go to heaven. And the Lord's given you this day. It's all sealed for this man. It's all over. All the choices he ever had, everything he could have done, it's over. Life is ended. It's also ended for Lazarus. No more suffering. No more sorrow. He is with the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says that one who is a fool is one who says this. He is thinking that God will not hold him accountable for his sins. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that he shall also reap. There's a rabbit that's playing in a field. He's just flitting around, doing his thing. Doesn't realize there's an eagle in the air. The eagle's coming down, and the eagle will swoop him away, and he's gone, just like that. And so we are like those, all we like sheep. We've gone astray. We're just playing around, doing whatever we want, and all of a sudden, God will say, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you, and you're snatched up by the judgment of God, and it's all over. Happens every day. You look in the obituary. There's this person died, and this person died, and this person died, and this person died. That's all you read is death, death, death. And you ask the question, where are they spending eternity? And that's the question must be upon every one of our hearts. The devil does not want you to think about that question. If he can keep your mind on all the music of the world, all the television programs of the world, all the things your friends are wearing. What's the new fad? What's the latest thing that I can wear? What's the job that I'm going to get? Who am I going to marry? And keep you always thinking about the things of this world. you will be judged just like he. You'll be snatched up, and that's all you'll have is the things of this world. You will not have the Lord. So be very mindful that this verse is speaking of all of us. And then verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You notice he lifted up his eyes. This may be the first time this man ever saw things as they really are. He actually saw the truth and is having to recognize that. This man is sent to a place of torment in hell. It is hot and it's not getting cooler. No autumn breeze is sweeping in to cool his brow, much less his tongue. He lifts up his eyes, which signifies that he is now becoming aware of what is around him for the first time. He did not lift up his eyes on the earth to the Lord. He only lifted them up in pride. Now they're lifted up in recognition that his father Abraham is not in this place of torment. His father Abraham is in a place of comfort and rest. You see, he called him Father Abraham. He knew the word of God. He knew much of the word of God. He knew to be able to recognize that must be the person who is the founder of our race that God used. His father Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was trusting the Lord who made him and who gave him promises of a land and of blessings untold. The father had told Abraham that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That was the gospel. That coming from you, Abraham, is going to be one who is going to bear the sins of his people. Jesus said of Abraham, he saw my day and was glad. Abraham knew more of God than we understand. He knew more of Christ than we understand. He might not have known his name was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but he knew that there would be one who would save him from his sins, and he trusted the Lord. It says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Abraham's in heaven not because he was such a great man, but he trusted a great God who saves great sinners. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was gladdened in his heart. Abraham looks comforted, but the rich man feels no comfort. He only feels this flame. The heat is scorching him, and he has no relief. After looking up and seeing there is one who rests in the comfort of the Lord, he sees the beggar whom he spurned. He would not invite him to his table. He would not mollify and dress his wounds. He would have no real pity upon him. Here, take that man some crumbs. Put the leftovers, though, in the cupboard. No mercy. John Bunyan wrote a book, and you know Pilgrim's Progress. He also wrote another book. He entitled it, on this passage, A Few Sighs from Hell, The Groans of the Damned Soul. So when you read some other books by Bunyan, read that one. And this is a quote from that book. While men live in this world, they are in a natural state. They will have good thoughts of themselves and of their condition. They will conclude that they are Christians, that Abraham is their father, and their state to be as good as any other. They will conclude they have faith, the Spirit, a good hope, and an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, when they drop into hell and lift up their eyes there and behold first their soul to be in extreme torments, their dwelling to be in the bottomless pit, their company thousands of damned souls, also the innumerable company of devils, and the hot, scalding vengeance of God, not only to drop, but to fall very violently upon them, then they will begin to be awakened, who all their lifetime were in dead sleep. I say, when this comes to pass, lo, it will, Then in hell they shall lift up their eyes. In the midst of torments, they shall lift up their eyes. Now we wonder, well, how could he speak like this? How could someone say, well, I'm a Christian and I have faith, and I go to hell? He must be referring to Matthew chapter 7, if you'll look there with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, these individuals thought they knew the Lord, but they really weren't following him. They weren't seeking to keep his commandments. They were looking at miracles. They were looking at things that they were accomplishing. They weren't really looking at Christ Jesus himself, that he was their salvation. You maybe have heard the question, if you had to stand before God today and he asked you, why should I allow you into my kingdom and my heaven, how would you answer? These men answered, well, look what we did. Look at what we accomplished in your name. And of course, the name of Christ is powerful. They didn't say, Lord, only your blood can save someone as wicked as I. I am trusting in Jesus Christ alone. You are my salvation. Amen. See, that's the difference. Amen. People all over the world can trust themselves as Christians. They have gone to church. They have done this and that, and they've flowed in and out of Christendom. But they haven't really come to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They're not really trusting him. And so, as I read this, I mean, I tremble myself. I will be in hell someday if Christ alone is not my Savior. Preaching will just send you further into hell if Christ is not your master. And so these here were not in obedience to him. And we're not saved by our obedience, but remember, faith produces a heart that wants to obey him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It doesn't say perfectly. You will wish it was perfectly. Oh, Lord, oh, that it could be perfect. Lord, for the day in heaven, well, it will be perfect. And you long to keep his commandments in this life and certainly in heaven. Now, we're going to come to what I'm calling three sentences that he spoke from hell. These are the words from hell. Some kind of complex sentences with a number of phrases. The first sentence is verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You notice he's crying. He's begging. He had not cried unto the Lord in this life, but now he's crying. He had known that David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. But this man is now crying, and his fears are not relieved. He knew that the children of Israel, after turning away from the Lord, were afflicted. But when they cried to the Lord, he heard them and sent judges to deliver them. This man cries, and there's no deliverer. So we think about these cries and what he's asking. He just wants to have his tongue cooled, just a little, just one drop. I mean, surely one drop could be put on someone's tongue that's been burning as long as I have here, and as much heat as I'm in. The answer is no. There'll be no drop. There'll be no messenger. I didn't think much of this beggar, but now he could be a real help to me. I really need him now. There's no help. And you notice he's crying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I want to center on a couple of words in this, in this, particularly on his word for mercy here. And then you'll notice the answer that Abraham gives him. "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." What an answer. There's no way you're going to have your tongue cooled. He wants mercy. He's crying now for mercy. Just mercy, Lord. Have mercy on me. Surely you could have some mercy on me. No mercy. His tongue will never be cooled. Ever. Ever. I'm seeing before me a picture that I saw this morning on the internet. My nephews were at the scene of this home that burned to the ground. And they took a picture when half of it was about engulfed in flames from the backside. I could see the bedroom where they would have my wife and I stay. And I saw the other end of the house where other bedrooms were burning. And it was a still picture. It's like the flames are still burning there. I know they're gone. I know they're put out. But it reminded me of hell. The flames are there, and they're burning, and they're never ceasing. Well, surely they're going to burn to the ground and stop eventually. We'll be annihilated eventually, and we won't have to worry about this. You understand that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of hell more than anyone else in the Scripture. I use the expression, he did all the heavy lifting. He didn't give it to Isaiah or Paul to speak about hell more. He says, no, the most difficult doctrine men are going to hate the most. I'm going to talk about it the most myself, so no one can say I gave it to anybody else. Let's look at one of those passages in Mark 9. Mark 9. Verse 42, Jesus says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Some of your translations do not have that quotation there. You'll have it down in verse 48. Verse 45, "And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Do you get the message? How could anyone ever say, well, Jesus really didn't mean that the fire would never be quenched. He just kind of, it's a play on words. This is not a play on words. This is the reality that as the devil will be punished forever and ever for rising up against God and perpetrating all that he's ever done in the hearts of men, so those who have followed him and said, I will not have this man to reign over me. I'm going to have my life. Oh, I'll come to Jesus someday. But I have a few things I want to get done. There's some sins I haven't tested out yet, and surely that would be all right to do that, and God would forgive me because he forgives sinners. Remember, thou fool, tonight your soul should be required of you. How many young people have actually been on some kind of inebriation, whether it be alcohol or drugs, and they thought, someday I will be a Christian, and their car is wrapped around a tree. They've overdosed. They're in a coffin, and they're in hellfire. Oh, I would have come. Tells us over in Revelation, where we will not turn, that their smoke will rise forever, forever and ever. We have to get a grip around this, young people. We are here forever in one of two places. See, this Lazarus is still being comforted. I mean, you talk about super comfort. He is in the presence of Jesus Christ. He knows all of his sins are forgiven, and he hasn't sinned for all the years since this time. Been comforted in Christ's presence. He will forever be with the Lord. And this other man will never, ever be with the Lord in comfort. And you are in that creation. God made you for himself. If you had a dog that you had raised and that dog began biting your children and biting your wife, would you allow that dog to continue in your house? No, you would have that dog put away. Well, what is it for God's people, whom he made for himself, to be biting, as it were, toward him with sins all the time and aggravations against God, every sin, dishonoring parents, lying to parents, cheating, stealing, evil thoughts in their minds, anger toward others, hatred, murder? These are things we all have committed. And God saves sinners just like us. This man who laid at the gate, he was a sinner. Who knows how many sins he had committed and why he was laid at that gate, but he was trusting in Christ. And you see God, you see the infinite mercy of God, that you are here today and you have the privilege of calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You must call. It's too late in hell. He's begging for mercy. There is no mercy. But in this life, if you beg for mercy, there is mercy. Let's look over in Luke 18. Very important. Luke 18, verse 9 says, And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. And the New American Standard says, the sinner, as if I am the only greatest sinner that I know. When he says, be merciful to me, it's a different Greek word here, but he's crying out, be propitious to me. Lord, take my sins upon yourself. Take the punishment I deserve. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, what does Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. If you in this life humble yourself and say, I am not going anywhere but hell unless Jesus saves me. Lord, be merciful to me. I am the sinner. I personally am the worst sinner I know. And I understand something Paul said. He called himself the chief of sinners because Paul had to deal with his heart all the time. He might have seen other sinners, but all the time he was having to deal with his own heart. And he looked at Jesus and he saw, I see perfection. And every time I see him, I see I'm not like Jesus. He was the chief of sinners in his mind. And so are we, because we have sinned. I remember lying to my mother when I was 5 years old. Third floor, Omaha, Nebraska. I'm getting dressed. She's in the bathroom. She says something to me, and I said something to her. She said, son, you're lying to me. And I said, how do you know? She said, son, I can see it in your eyes. My little mind went, I said, my whole life is in destruction. I could see it. I could never get away with anything. 5 years old. But I lied to God. You see, I'm lying to mama, but I'm lying to God. And my whole life, sin after sin after sin. And I didn't repent at your age, and I repent of that. I was saved at the age of 20. Don't wait. Don't wait for 20 years of wreckage, of things you have to deal with the rest of your life, of things you experience that you beg God to protect you from, and yet they come back. Come as a little child, and don't let the devil ever say, you're missing something. You're missing all those fun things that people are having. Don't you realize how much joy your friends are having, and you're missing all that? You're missing hell. You're missing judgment. You're missing sin that Jesus paid for. He meant for your mind to be filled with his word, to be filled with his glory, to enjoy him forever. because you will not enjoy sin. It brings death.
Amen.
Every time. Every time. You see, we don't believe God. Adam and Eve did not believe God. He said, if you eat that food, you are going to die. And Eve was deceived, and Adam wasn't deceived. And he rebelled against God, and he committed basically suicide right there. I'm going to eat this fruit anyway. And he knew he was going to die, and he died. And we've all fallen under that. We're just like this man in hell. We have to lift up our eyes now, today, to Christ. That's why we're here. We preach the gospel that Jesus Christ died on a Roman cross and bled all over the ground, having prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that we would hear those words in this age, and we would look up to him, and we'd say, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner, and he will save every soul who does that.
Amen.
If I promised every one of you here I'm going to give you a Snickers candy bar, do you think I would try to fulfill that?
Yes.
I would do everything in my power. I wouldn't want any of you ever going home and say, Brother Mitch, he lied to us. He didn't give us a Snickers candy bar. Jesus said, and it tells us in Romans 10, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's no Snickers candy bar. That's Jesus will save your soul. He will save you if you really mean business with him. Not, oh, Lord, save me, but please let me have some of my sins. No, Lord, save me from all my sins that I've committed. Save me from all the sins I will ever commit. Help me be as pure as a saved sinner can be in this life, no matter what it costs me. If they take off my head for that, that's okay. I want to serve you. If you want to put me in the coldest place on the planet, in Thule, Greenland, I will go there. Whatever it is, I'll go to the middle of Africa. You know, it's not God save me if you will, and under these conditions. You save me and I will do anything for you because you have done everything for me. It's no holds barred, Lord. I'm yours. You do with me whatever you want. Put me on the shelf for the rest of my life. Put me in front of people for the rest of my life. Whatever it is, I want to be with you forever. He promises to answer that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we don't call upon him because we don't believe him. And we love sin too much. I'll tell you this story. There's a young man named Kim. He was what we called a hell raiser, 7th grade. Black leather jackets in that day, blue, you know. He had a motorcycle, you know, at the age of 14. Teachers, he was the scourge of every classroom he was in. All the kids knew that. When I got to school in 8th grade, one of the first things I heard of, did you hear about Kim? What happened? He got saved this summer. He went to Falls Creek in Oklahoma, and he was converted. He thought I was a Christian. He asked me if I would be a part of a Bible study he wanted to have. And I began thinking about, if I get associated with him, I may not be able to associate with these other sins I want to commit. And I said, no. I believe God judged me. From that time forward, my life began going like this. I thought it was going the way I wanted to, in sin. It did not. And for those next years, down, down, down into more sin, more sin. What did I hear about Kim? He was leading Bible studies all the way through high school. I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't a pastor somewhere if he's still alive. And God could have allowed me to end up just like this man. And I'd have died in hell. And any mercy I'd asked for had been denied. See, this is reality, young people. This passage is Jesus letting us know. He's cracking the lid on the future. You want to know the future? Here it is. All men are either going to be with Christ and comforted, or all men that have not come to Christ will be in torments forever and ever, and their tongue will never be cooled by any drop ever. And the word I want you to remember, the other word I want to deal with here is the word remember. Remember. Remember what? Remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things. every one of the good things that God gives us, the food that the rich man ate, it wasn't sin that he had food. It was sin that he had food and he didn't give God glory. And he did not give generously of all the bounty he had. The Lord tells us, if God makes you rich, look around for ways to use those riches for the blessings of others. 1 Timothy 6, if you don't, it'll only be temptation. And so we have remembering these good things. Remember that every time you woke up, there's the beautiful sun to remind you there is a sun of righteousness. And every one of those sunbeams that warmed your body reminds us that the word of God coming from Christ is what warms our soul. There's the rain coming down from heaven on all men, evil and good. And that should remind us that Jesus is the living water, that from him comes all nourishment. Without his water, we can never grow. And all the food that he gives us, we should remember he is the bread of life. And he is our sustenance. And all the air we breathe, that he is the one who keeps us living and moving and having our being in him. He is everything. We cannot live but by the commandment of Jesus Christ. Every breath you breathe and every heartbeat you ever beat was the command of Christ. Because if he ever stops commanding that, you're gone. Healthy people die just like that. Pete Maravich, one of the greatest basketball players ever to dribble a basketball. He's in the courts in Colorado Springs on a basketball court. He drops dead in the middle of the court. When I first heard that, I thought that was the judgment of God. He was actually going to be on a radio program talking about the Lord the next day. I heard a man who knew him said that every time you talk to Pete Maravich, he was converted later. He was the first man ever to make over $1 million in the NBA. And he got into drugs. And it wrecked his basketball career. But he was converted later. And they said he would always talk about Jesus. He got on Larry King Live, gave him a Bible on national television. And God just said, I'm taking him home quickly. He's not going to suffer. I want everybody to hear about this man. And so I'm going to take him out real quick. And they'll still be talking about him, but Orange Beach, Alabama. See, he believed in the Lord. And we're thinking about the good things God's given you. Are you giving him the glory? We're not saved because we give him the glory. We're saved because the God who gave those things is the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. You see, all these good things point to the one who went to Calvary. So that we could enjoy him forever. Not just the good things of this life, but forever and ever. Notice the second thing he's supposed to remember. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. There's a whole lot in this. Part of those evil things that Lazarus received was because of this man's sin. He sinned against Lazarus, and he was to remember forever how he had sinned against God, and not just the sins against Lazarus, but all the evil that he ever perpetrated will come back to him. The sins he forgot that he's having to pay for now in hell. All the good things, the opportunities, the word he'd heard about Abraham, that's gone. All the evil things are coming in upon him that he perpetrated, that he committed, he'll never forget. He'll always be with him. He could also remember that Lazarus, though he had all these evil things happen to him, trusted in God. He was contented. He desired even crumbs would have been okay for him. Lord, just a few crumbs from the master's table. I'll praise you for a few crumbs. I wanted the dogs. Did the dogs get the crumbs first? If anyone were there, did he have to fight off the dogs for the crumbs? I don't know. The Lord doesn't tell us. But he was satisfied in the Lord. He said, Lord, I know just a few more hours like this and I'll be with you. They might even preach a sermon about me someday. What a savior. You know, it's the devil saying, if you come to Christ, you'll just have a terrible life. Well, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Paul had his head cut off by Nero. Where did he go? He went to be in the presence of Christ. There's a man named Harlan Popoff. He was a Romanian pastor, and he was suffering for the faith, and he was had this guy had a gun to his head, and he was going to kill him. He was hoping he'd pull the trigger. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. Well, he didn't kill him. He spent 11 more years suffering in prison and memorized much in the New Testament after that during prison, and God used him mightily, but this word remember, you understand that's going to happen in hell. You will always remember the good things and the evil, and that's all you'll have is the suffering and the suffering and the suffering. I don't say these things because I like to say them. I say them because Jesus said them, and he's warning us. He's trying to protect us from this suffering. I hear people saying crazy things like this. Well, if he's God, why would he allow anybody to suffer? He's just. He's a just God. And suffering comes because of sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned, sin covered the whole earth. And every person has sinned. And we're all under the judgment of God. But do you see how merciful God is? He could have judged all men to hell. That'd been it. Well, what do we have? Just a world full of hellish people. That's the way it went. They died. But he said, no, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to make sure there is a way of escape for all who will call upon me. I hope you're reading your Bible. This whole book declares the glory of salvation in Jesus Christ. Please don't neglect it. You have more free time right now than you'll have for the rest of your life. I do believe. Isn't that right, Brother Mike?
Amen.
I mean, do you think, oh, my parents are making me do all these chores. I don't have any time. You haven't seen chores yet. Wait till you have children. These are good chores. We love chores. We love children. But God has given the time you have now, you can read, and the free time you have, try to buy it up and say, Lord, help me know as much of this book as I possibly can, to be like the ant, pouring it into my heart and my mind. Your minds can retain more of the Word of God now than they can at any other time in your life. The Word of God that you memorize now will be with you for the rest of your life. I memorized Psalm 23 at my parents' request, the Sunday school teacher's request as a fourth grader. And that's still maybe the quickest thing I can remember. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's with me. Buy it up. Say, well, I'm not having as much fun as some other kids. Well, have fun in the Word of God. Make this your delight. And I'm not saying you can't do anything else. Matthew Henry said God gave us a small book so he wanted us to do something else. He wanted us to serve our parents. He wanted us to be able to earn the funds we need for our families. He wanted us to be able to do this and do that, but with the Word in our hearts. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We're going to close this out soon. But remember those two words. He cried for mercy. All he got was remembrance. We go to the last two sentences. Please forgive me. The one thing he also had to remember, not just the good things, not only the evil things, but also the fact this will never change. He cannot come to you. You cannot come to him, and that forever and ever. Young people, never let that leave you. This is forever and ever. And you understand this man is still sinning in hell. Everything he's saying, we get to the end of this, he's going to be arguing with Abraham. He never bows. He never submits. Look at his last two sentences. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And so you see he's got a word of request here. I just got one request. Just please send him. If you're not going to help me out, I got five brothers. They need some help. It's too late to have compassion right in hell. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Your request is denied because they've already got what they need. They don't need this messenger. They have the word of God. And that's our word. We have the word of God. Some people think God needs to do something for me. If I could just feel God, if I could just have some kind of sensation that God is speaking to me, something like that. And the answer is, you have the word of God. That's what you need. You need his word. Why is word? Well, didn't Paul write, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? You see, the word of God isn't my vocal cords just moving and saying something to you. This is God speaking from heaven, his word that he had recorded for you to hear his very words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I've seen individuals literally crying because they can't hear God. And my answer to them is, yes, you can. Read this book. God is speaking very loudly and clearly to you. But I don't hear him. Yes, you do. The very fact you could even perceive the words, that's God speaking. And you need to respond to that. Now, it's too late for this man in hell. The prophets are not going to help him. Moses is not going to help him. And then you have his last sentence. You notice it's a sentence of rebellion, contention. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Now he's instructing Abraham. He's had all this pride still in his heart. He's still sinning. Why should hell go on forever? Sin's going on forever. You understand that? It's not just these innocent people are now burning in hell. They're people who sinned against God in this life, and they're never turning from that. In their gnashing of teeth, it's not true repentance. It's anger that God is not giving them their way. No, Father Abraham. And what does Abraham say? But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So we have this word of contention in this last sentence, and we have Abraham's word of correction. They don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, some people say, if Jesus walked in that door, I'm sure I would believe in him. Because then I'd know he's risen from the dead. This is saying you don't need Jesus to walk through that door. You have his word, and that's his means. He's not using Jesus walking through a door. He's using his spirit coming to the door of your heart with his word. And that's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe everything that was taught to you today, that you'll hear this week, that you've heard all your life about Christ. That's how he saves people. The world thinks that's so foolish. You mean somebody with a little hot air can tell you about God's words and you could believe those things and you'll go to heaven? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's also foolish to think that there's this guy who died between two criminals, got in the wrong place in the wrong time, and supposedly his blood is going to save me from my sins. That's so foolish. God has chosen this method that we're using today to preach the word to you, to tell you about Jesus who died on the cross for this Lazarus and for all that believe in him for all time, that you will be saved from your sins, to look unto Christ, to think about him. When he was dying on that cross, he was thinking about me. He knew exactly where you would be. He knew the sins you'd committed. He knew that he would take them upon himself. And he commands you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. How do I come? We come by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart, calling upon him, trusting him, that he's going to keep his word. But Lord, I pray this prayer and I don't feel anything. He doesn't say, I'll save you if you feel something. He says, I will save you if you trust me. Feelings will come. The joy that passes all understanding is that Jesus really has forgiven me of my sins. Now, sin is still your pleasure. And you remember I said when I was 13, I want sin. You can't pray that prayer and say, I hope I have some more sin. You pray, Lord, save me from my sins. And he forgives you forever and ever. Any questions about what I've shared today? Yes, sir.
What does bosom mean?
Bosom? It's just his breast. And he's nestled against the heart of Abraham, which is a picture of us being nestled to the heart of God. That Jesus receives us to himself as his dear children. There's nothing more precious than seeing a mother with the babe or a father holding his babe. And it's Jesus holding us in his arms, in a sense. Close to his heart. Good question. Anybody else? Young people, remember, he calls us to obey his word. That means to listen to it and to act upon it. And the worst thing for you to do in life is to hear the gospel and say, maybe some other day. Now's the time to call upon him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mercies and the grace, the kindness and the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that these are not fables. These are not stories that we've made up. That the blood coursing through our veins is a reality. And the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead is a reality. That, Lord, all of this will be wrapped up someday. And we want everyone in this room. We beg you, Lord, by your mercies, Lord, you give them grace to call upon you. To call upon you in their hearts, Lord. To know that you hear their cries. You will receive them. And Lord, I thank you that it is by faith. You hear the weakest cry, Lord. You say that the faith as a grain of mustard seed shall move a mountain. But Lord, I pray that each of these here would give their whole heart to you, Lord. All their mind, all their strength, all their sins. Lord, turning away from every sin, repenting of every sin, believing in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen.